In this episode, we have been talking about some of the dangers of secular worldviews, especially the kind of predominant worldview of postmodernism, or even as our guest said, post-postmodernism too. But modernism and postmodernism have presented some challenges to our culture. And many times we think if we can send our children off to a Christian college or if we're taking them to church, that that's good enough, that they must be getting a biblical worldview. But I want us to look at ways in which even Christian groups are being influenced by wrong philosophy. Unfortunately, I can tell you as a pastor that when a young person from my church goes off to a Christian college, it does not always mean that they are going to be trained in a truly biblical worldview. So, Nathan, I know you teach biblical hermeneutics and you direct the camp, Think Bible, a biblical worldview camp. Could you just tell us what hermeneutics means, what that's all about, and maybe tell us a little bit about your biblical worldview camp?
Sure. The term hermeneutics can be a little bit of a confusing term. I remember one time I was talking with a pastor and his family, and I'd done an internship in their church back when I was a college student. So I'd known his four daughters since they were young, and one of them, who had been 6 years old when I'd first met her, was about to be a sophomore at Bob Jones and take my hermeneutics class. And she said, "You know, what is that? That sounds like a disease. What are we going to be studying?" And so I explained to her that hermeneutics, you know, typically the textbook definition is it's the science and the art of biblical interpretation. It's basically how do we study the Bible? How do we come to Scripture and know that we're coming away with the proper interpretation? And it is one of the things that we try to teach at our biblical worldview camp. This year we're offering it for 1 week to about 60 students. That'd be July 23rd to 27th if there's any parents listening to this. Really focusing primarily on 9th through 12th graders. But what we do, like for the first day of camp, which usually we start it, really start camp on a Monday, they'll come in Sunday evening after being at their home church, but students will fly in from all over. And that first day, we talk about understanding a biblical worldview, or how, you know, many of these students, most all of them, I think, have come from Christian homes and they've grown up in a Christian context, and they really are believers in Christ. The camp is not primarily evangelistic. It's to help them grow in their Christian faith. And we talk about what is the Christian faith, even tracing through the overarching themes of Scripture, creation, fall, redemption, restoration, and just understanding what we mean by a biblical worldview versus a secular worldview. And then the second day, on Tuesday, we do the whole day. We have guest lectures in and experts talking about owning your faith. It's one thing to say, well, theoretically, I believe this, I guess I understand this, but is this really yours? Is this something you believe merely because you grew up with it, or do you really own it as your own? And then Wednesday, defending your faith, we talk about what do Hindus believe, what do Muslims believe. We give them really good ideas for taking mission trips and traveling to other parts of the world to be confronted with various worldviews, and then we talk to them about the pervasive secular worldview even here in the United States. So understanding your faith, owning your faith, defending your faith, and then on Thursday we deal with sharing your faith, and we have all kinds of different field trips that we take. We have a guy with his PhD in entomology, the study of bugs, who takes us on a long hike for one of the days and shows us all how God's creation points back to him, and we talk about a literal six-day creation. But when we talk about sharing your faith, we actually give them the opportunity to go to downtown Greenville, which is a beautiful area, Greenville, South Carolina, but with many people from many different worldviews, and we do a worldview survey where they actually ask people about their worldview and many different questions, and then that leads into presenting the gospel. And I know at the beginning of camp, we gave them this whole, you know, folder of everything we're going to be doing this week, and we let them digest it all, and then we said, what are you looking forward to, and what are you nervous about? And we kind of went around the room, and several of them said, oh, I'm looking forward to the friendship with all these other young people who want to know more about God, or I'm looking forward to the hike, or I'm looking forward to the good food, or whatever. And almost every single one of them said the thing that they were the most nervous about was that day when they actually shared their faith with other people, that they went downtown with total strangers, and in a group setting, we had adults with each group and so on, but they got to share their faith. But at the end of the week, many of them said that was their favorite part. They were really nervous about it, but they talked about how important that was for them. And I was actually preaching a leadership conference with a number of Bob Jones students that came up with us, and we were there in the Chicago area this past weekend, And I saw a student there, and I said, Hudson, where do I remember you from? And he said, I was at the Think Bible Biblical Worldview Camp, and we were just talking about that and how much he enjoyed being able to share his faith. So, yeah, you can't just assume that because the school has the term Christian in it, that it's going to teach a biblical worldview. I think you want to be more specific on that. But that's a little bit about hermeneutics and about the Biblical Worldview Camp.
Well, Nathan, that was very, very clear, I thought. I think the practical application of what you're talking about in that setting with students, very, very important to know, to hear, to do, and to experience like you're talking about. Now, let's go back here. At the beginning of the program, we started out by giving an example of science, how a postmodern or a godless worldview has impacted evolutionary thought through science and so forth. Then Isaac asked me about an example of how it's impacted government. It's really significant in that area too. But let's stay here now on the theological part on Bible schools. And Isaac started out by saying you could actually go away to a Bible school, you could go away to a Christian school, and actually not get a biblical worldview. So give an example, if you could, of how subtle, perhaps, a godless worldview or a modernistic worldview can actually get in there and twist the teaching of the Bible and theology and how that actually works itself out. If you could do that, I think that would be very helpful.
Sure. Great question. Let me try to tick off several specific examples. One of those would be the homosexual hermeneutic, that you actually have churches now and professing believers who would say, we believe the Bible, but we are open homosexuals, or we ordain homosexuals, or we don't think there's anything wrong with homosexuality. And it's a complete reinterpretation of the passages that condemn homosexuality, just saying, well, that's talking about non-consensual homosexual behavior or whatever. But what they're doing is they're taking a postmodern worldview and coming back to Scripture and reinterpreting passages that are very clear. I think of a student that I was eating lunch with recently from another country. Is really kind of a good example of different worldviews. He was from Romania, and his girlfriend, the girl that he's dating, is from Chile, and so a South American country. So they were talking about the differences between the U.S. and their respective countries. But he had had an older brother who had come to a Christian college in the U.S., and just because it was Christian, and I think they gave him a scholarship coming from Romania. And when the student told me the name of the college, I was very familiar with it because it was from my home state. And yet I knew that in recent years, as far as I know, they have several homosexuals teaching on their faculty now. I think they moved towards co-ed dormitories and just very, very loose, almost like you would have with a secular campus. Now, I think when they have a certain time of year when a lot of their alumni come back, their older alumni, that they try to clean things up a little bit. But that would be another example. And then I think, for instance, Answers in Genesis can give you, Ken Ham was recently at Bob Jones and just said multiple times from the pulpit how appreciative he was of a school that had 28 or 30 or whatever PhDs on their science faculty from premier institutions all over the world, and yet every single one of them believe in a six-day literal creation. And Ken Ham said it's harder and harder to find even Christian universities that actually teach the biblical account of the book of Genesis. So there are three specific examples of how that can, if you start to let that secular worldview seep in, it really affects the way you teach and the way a church preaches and so on.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And it can come in just in ways that you don't even expect. You think, okay, my child or my friend is going to, a good college, so they'll get a good education. Sam, I know we don't have a lot of time, but is this a problem with professing Christians who are also government members that they don't understand they're actually not coming from the right biblical worldview?
Oh, absolutely, Isaac. And it's as simple as taking the perspective, for instance, again, not understanding the role of government. The Bible clearly lays out is to enact justice, praise those who do well, punish those who do evil. That's the purpose of government. But if you don't believe that and you believe a secular worldview, you will say that government should be doing all these things, all of welfare, all kind of whole host of programs that really should be the functions of the church. And getting involved in doing what the church should do or doing involved what the family should do. Those would be examples very prevalent in governmental policies.